Morning, David. How are you?
Very well, thank you. And I have to say, it's probably the first time I think I've ever been referred to as smart in your introduction, unless you were referring to everyone else you're interviewing over the next hour. So thank you for that.
You are smart, which is why we speak to you. If you weren't, we wouldn't speak to you at all.
Interesting. Okay, thank you.
David, looking at some of the stories on your website, how ISIS has changed Christmas, their influence is not just in terms of the impact on society, on on lifestyles when there's an attack. Can we talk about this?
Absolutely, 100%. It's not just the terror factor and so on and so forth. It's also, for example, the influence they're having over people. I'll give you a for example. A 17-year-old boy in Cardiff in Wales was found guilty on Friday of a plan to seemingly launch a terror attack at a Justin Bieber concert in the city a couple of months back. He's going to go to prison for a long time. He's a minor, so the question is how much they can punish him because he's 17. He was found to be carrying, if I remember rightly, a gutting knife and a claw hammer and was just planning on going wild. Now, presumably, there was something psychological at fault with this boy to begin with, because anybody who considers doing something like that has to, there has to be something wrong with them. But the fact that people who may be mentally ill, unbalanced, whatever it is, are choosing to adopt ISIS methods and carrying out attacks and very often pledging allegiance to ISIS and so on, shows the first of all, shows that ISIS are preying on the weak, whether intentionally or otherwise, but also shows that their influence goes far, far beyond just videos of beheadings and so on.
Very interesting. Look, irrespective of how much you might dislike Bieber's music, this is not the way to go, surely.
Absolutely. I have to say I've grown to loathe Justin Bieber because my teenage daughter was absolutely in love with him, to the extent that she had 500 photographs of Justin Bieber on the walls of her bedroom. She used my printer and my ink, which cost a flaming fortune to do this, and every single photo was passport size, the identical size. It was an obsession. And to segue back into our topic, it becomes an obsession for these people, and it's incredibly difficult for any form of authority, unless somebody is also already in psychological care, to identify this, because it becomes a private obsession. We're making a film at the moment called Kids, which will be out sometime in 2018, which is looking at exactly this. And I guess our call to action with the film, because there's no point in making a film without trying to get people to do something these days, a documentary film, is to talk to the parents and say, at the end of the day, you are the police officers, you are the ones who see the signs.
Take on responsibility for your children. For your children.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. On our website, we've got a few items which are in our 101 section, which are telling parents what to look out for, how to spot the signs, because the last thing we need is for, every parent to look at their child, A, it's not healthy, but B, then call the police and say, there's a problem with my child. And then the police get inundated with calls from people who've just got, teenage nuisance kids. If a teenage kid gets into trouble with a little bit of vandalism or whatever it is, doesn't mean that they're going to be an ISIS terrorist. But there are some very clear signs to look out for. Yeah. And you're right that we the parents have to be the police officers.
Absolutely. And but we even see it here in Johannesburg. This is a conversation that I've had often with parents and on radio. There's a number of different youth camps. Right. So we've got Habonim and we've got Bnei Akiva and we've got Beitar, we've got Netzer. When you send your child to camp at the end of the year, which is an amazing social experience for them, be aware of the ideology behind that youth organization. Don't just send your children because they want to go where their friends are going. I think that as parents, we need to step in and be parents and take responsibility.
100%. And I mean, if you're talking about youth camps, it's not only the ideology that you're opening your child up to, and it does have life-changing influence in many cases. I know of several kids who went to Jewish camps and it really changed their lives, mainly for the good. But you've also got to think about the reputation of the camp as well. You know, hopefully all the ones that you mentioned, you know, are great and fine, but there are camps out there where there is a drug culture and so on and so forth, and parents just have to be aware of what they're exposing the kids to. And the same goes to the choice of school, the choice of friends that you allow your children to mix with. It affects all of these things, but the most serious of all of these, of course, is radicalization.
Yeah. David, ISIS, we've seen the connection between ISIS and drugs for a while. Well, actually, it's starting to come to light just how pervasive it is. But I see a story on your website about these Mexican drug cartels.
Mm-hmm. You just want me to say the word Viagra's on your radio.
I'll leave it to you. You than me.
Yeah, it was going to be a battle of wits there, but I don't have a problem with it. There is a drugs cartel in Mexico called the Viagra's cartel. They, amongst others, have been over the last few years, since we've all learnt about what ISIS does, they've been using ISIS tactics in terms of torturing and even beheading from people from rival gangs and so on. But the Viagra's gang has taken it to the, you know, an incredible depth of mimicry of ISIS, where they actually filmed an entire execution, including forcing the hitmen from another organization to confess to their alleged crimes, and then to decapitate these people on video and then release the video. So again, if we're talking about the impact of ISIS going much farther and much wider than we could have ever anticipated, this is another example, and truly horrifying, and this is in Mexico.
Crazy. And then just finally, can we talk about Potsdam on Friday? Mm-hmm. I mean, I see this morning it's been linked to DHL, and they're saying that it's not possibly not terror. But let's talk about it. So
again, this is another influence of ISIS. Even if something isn't terror, it's still being interpreted as terror by members of the public who panic. This was an IED, a little device that was sent by mail to a pharmacy in Potsdam, just around a corner from where Christmas market is opening. And if you remember a year ago in Berlin, 12 people were killed in a Christmas market. We talked about this on the program last week when you were away. It's become a real thing that Christmas markets all around Europe and beyond, there were warnings of attacks in America as well, but the Christmas markets are being targeted by ISIS, A, because it's a very easy target, B, because there are many people there, so it's a chance of a mass casualty attack, and C, because you're attacking Christmas, which is, of course, a major symbol of one of the infidel holidays and the infidel faith. So they're being targeted. Even if it proves that this was not an ISIS attack, the fact that it caused the panic, the fact that the police were there for hours clearing the area, not allowing people in, and the fact that throughout Europe there are metal detectors and inspections, quite invasive inspections at all of these Christmas markets, again, shows how far and wide ISIS is reaching. So it really is a cause for concern. We shouldn't panic, but we should be, as individuals, incredibly vigilant. And it sounds like a strange thing to say when we're talking about something like a Christmas market, but wherever possible, try to stay away from crowds.
And the great pity is that countries which haven't been affected by terrorism, you know, like South Africa, you know, we are so aware that, or we are so unaware, let me put it that way, that we just, our vigilance goes out the window because it hasn't affected us, thank God.
Long may it last. And, you know, the whole world kind of laughed at Israel or was very critical of Israel during the height of the Second Intifada, when all of the suicide bombings were going on, you know, talking about the problem of too much security at airports and you know, having security guards outside every shopping mall, shopping center, and on every bus and so on. That now, that Israeli the way that Israel coped with all of this 15 years ago is now becoming a reality throughout Europe, and unfortunately will soon be in other parts of the world too. So in South Africa, enjoy the peace and quiet while we have it, and let's hope that we can get to the radicals, not just those who are the terrorists, but the people who are purveying the evil ideology, that we can get to them before more and more countries are affected.
David Harris, that's where we leave it today. Thank you very much for your time. Thank you for your expertise, and we look forward to speaking next Monday.
Absolutely, if not before, for Addis for lunch. Take care.
God bless. Bye bye.